just kind of do a quick view here. There's three major themes that come out here in James. If you go back and you look at, we left off last time in verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word. And you'll notice here that James uses the word three times, and in verse 18 would be obviously the fourth time. So the word is very central to this text, hence you must live the word. But there's another word that stands out, and it's law, and it's used twice. Perfect law and law. And then religion, which is actually used three times. I was trying to fix that, Evan, but didn't have time because I was teaching Sunday school. So it's actually used three times. These are the three major players in this text. I don't think it's a disconnect from what we've been studying. Also got a brand new revelation on this. James has been knocking me off my theological feet lately, because I've preached this text probably on two other occasions and totally missed that first verse. Okay, let's jump right in here. First of all, obey the word in you, and James talks about righteousness. Now, notice here he says, know this, something that you already know. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now, often in times past, I have preached that in the context of relationships to one another. Though that's not specifically wrong, and I guess there's my stepfather, when I was 14 years old and I was in this crowd and I was, you know, 14-year-olds, I was spewing out great words of wisdom. My stepfather pulled me aside and he said, Mike, he said, what did he say? I'm trying to remember what he said. He said, Mike, it's better for people to think you're stupid than open your mouth and prove it. Now, there's some good practical advice here if you want to do in relationship to one another. I don't think that's where James is going with this. After having restudied this text and putting it in a different light, I think what James is talking about is in relationship to the word. And with the word going all the way through, it stands out very clearly. So he says here, know this, or that you already know this, my beloved brothers. And before James gets ready to drop some stuff, he always prefaces by saying, I love you. So before I get ready to drop some stuff, I love you. Now he says, let every person, that's imperative in the Greek, hard command, this is what you are to do. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And again, I do not believe this primarily focuses on our relationships to one another. I think that focuses at the end. I think it flows out of our relationship to this word. Now look at what he says. I want to look at three thoughts on verse 19. First of all, eager to listen to the word. That is, that we should be quiet. Also, that Greek word conjures up the idea of eager. There's an eagerness to hear the word of God. That is, you have a hunger and a desire to really listen to the word. So one question that really pops up is, if you don't have an eagerness to listen to the word, then it could be the first sign of a spiritual problem in your life. And eager means at every opportunity. That means whether you're driving down the road or whatever, and you're, I know most of you do this religiously, I know you do. You look for channels where preachers are preaching. I do, you know, sometimes. But there's a sense in which this is a urgent listening. Quick to hear. And the question is, are you quick to hear? Do you have a hunger to listen to God's word? That's a question only you can answer. Now, secondly, it says careful in teaching. I've never taken this spin on this before. Slow to speak. But if you jump over, and James is writing in this first chapter themes that he's going to develop the rest of the book. Now, if you go over and you look at chapter 3, verse 1, Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we will teach. Those who teach will come under greater judgment. How that plays out in our lives. Boy, my sinuses are killing me, guys. Draining, so if I cough a lot, that's okay. You're listening to the word, but then you're careful to recite the word until you've studied it in your own heart. That means in our relationship to the word, if there's not a desire to know the word, how can you rightly impart the word? In other words, people say, well, you know, the Bible says da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, yeah, the Bible says that, but over here it also says this. You have to reconcile those two. How are you going to do that? The only way that you can do that is have a desire to know the word and then be very sparingly in giving out the instructions. James reminds us in chapter 3, verse 1, not many should presume to be teachers. Now, we're talking here about Sunday school teachers, pastors, all those people. Should not be a lot of them because they will incur strict judgment, harsher judgment. And then lastly, I think most important here is submissive in responding to the word. Submissive in responding to the word. Slow to anger. The Greek word there means deep-seated anger. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever come to a text and you have read it and it hit you? Sometimes your reaction may be, well, I know the Bible says that, but you may even become angry at what God says in his word that is dealing with something in your life. So James is saying here that if you have a hunger for the word of God, and if you listen carefully to the word of God and let it be processed, and you're slow to actually give that out, that means you have to really be intentional about being careful about giving somebody advice from the scriptures that you haven't studied. Doesn't mean you can't, but make sure that you've studied the word. And then when you're reading the scripture and you look at it, you go, well, God irritates me there because I don't understand that. Maybe even something that's been preached that hits your heart. Have you ever had somebody said something to you just in passing? And you know it was dealing with something in your life. What is the natural response? Defense. But that defense can come anger, and anger can be messed up. Now look at what he says in the next verse. He says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. How do we become righteous in God's eyes? Obviously accepting Jesus Christ, but righteousness comes from the study of the Word of God so that we know how to live in this world. I love this. Righteousness equals right with God. The reality is, positionally, we are right with God based on our faith in Jesus Christ. You guys know that, right? You're not declared righteous because you come to church, attend Sunday school, help little old ladies and men across the street and clean yards. You're made right by the blood of Christ. I think our Sunday school group talked about that. The blood is applied to the heart. That's what makes us right. But also, positionally, we are righteous, but progressively, we need to continue in that relationship, and how we do that is by the Word of God. So, he says here that you have to have an obedience that leads to righteousness. But then, there is also a second point here. In obeying the Word that is in you is the word repentance. Uh-oh. Therefore, put away. In the Greek, means to take off. And actually means to take off dirty clothes. Paul says it this way. Take off the old man, which is being corrupted, and put on the new man. In the sense of when the word speaks to your heart and that you don't become angry, but you become submissive, then you want to turn and repent. Now notice what he says here. Therefore, take off. By the way, this was interesting. The root word for put away is the Greek word for rupos. And the Greek word for rupos means, get this, take the wax out of your ears. Isn't that funny? take wax out of your ear. Not only take off the clothes, but remove the root word, remove the wax from your ears. In other words, don't you hear what the word is saying? And then I read in First Timothy where it says, in the final days, they will assemble themselves teachers who tickle their ears. Leave the wax in. Leave the wax in. My wife and I have a joke. It's kind of a personal joke. Don't take it seriously. But she'll always ask me if I cleaned my ears before I leave the house. And her joke is, if you don't get the wax out of your ears, how are you ever going to get a girlfriend? I'm thinking, I don't want a girlfriend. But that root word means cleaning the wax out of your ears. And what are we to take off? Notice he says in the next verse, all filthiness and rampant wickedness. I don't know. You explain it to me how we can read God's word. And God's word says, do this, do this, do this, do this. And in your own life, you're doing exactly the opposite of what the word tells us to do. And yet, we don't see that as wickedness or filthiness. It's because we're not really listening. Maybe it's quite possible that the reason we don't have a hunger to study God's word is because we have unconfessed sin in our hearts. It's like a toothache. If you've got a sore tooth, you want to eat on the other side. So, you see how this is all fitting together in the sense of this is not in relationship to one another, though you could put it there, and it would be good advice. Here's the issue. The issue is in relationship to the Word. And in relationship to the Word, when the Bible says don't do it, you don't do it. And if you do do it, then you need to repent and stop doing it. Yeah, it's hard. This is... GPS. I wrote down several things. God's path for salvation, God's path for sanctification, God's path for success. I love my GPS, but there's one thing I do not like to hear. When I'm driving along, please turn around when possible. What that means is that I missed my turn. And the GPS lady, she said it to me like 3 times on our trip. And I finally just went, you're done. And I cut her off because I didn't want to hear, turn around when possible. That means that I made a mistake. God's word is the GPS by which we navigate life. And if the word of God is clear on an issue or subject or something going on in our hearts, and we look at it and then go, well, I don't like this, so I don't have to worry about it because I'm under God's grace. James deals with that in the next section. This is God's GPS for our lives. We should be following it. What to do in relationship to the word? Notice what he says. And receive with meekness. This "and" is connected. In meekness, which is the opposite of anger, which means a humbled heart. Notice this, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. The key is receive with meekness. That is, when you read God's word, something's going on in your heart and your life that you know is not right, and you repent. You have received the word. You know the word's already implanted in you? It's interesting that he said the word implanted in you. You know the right thing to do. We all know the right thing to do, but we struggle in the flesh to do the right thing. When we come to the word, we read it, we see it, we go, all right, Lord, you're right, I need to change. That's a change that's good, is repentance. Do you have a willing heart? You willing to accept the word of God and when it speaks to do what it says? Secondly, not only do we have to be obey the word in us, but correcting ourselves by it. Notice what he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. am constantly amazed. Well, maybe I shouldn't be amazed. Maybe amused is the better word. How can we listen to sermons week after week and not apply it to our hearts and lives? How can we sit, well, not just with me, with other preachers that you listen to, how can we sit there week after week? I remember listening to Charles Swindoll last week, and he was beating me up, man. He was beating me up, and I asked for forgiveness right there in the car, not with my head down driving, but you know what I mean. One pastor said, lady walked out the door and she said, pastor, that was a great sermon. And the pastor said, thank you for saying that, but how are you going to apply it to your life this week? Because that's where the sermon lives. It's in the week. This is you come and you get the message and then you go out and you try to live what God has spoken to you about. Be not only doers of the be doers of the word, not only hearers. When it's clear, put it into practice. When God speaks to your heart and you know it's God speaking, and I've had people tell me, pastor, you got all in my head. Well, I didn't get in your head. God got in your head through me. Somehow he used me to get into your head. So when it's clear, just do it. Don't make excuses. Don't say, well, I'll do it next week or the week after. Just do it. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. Clean the wax out. And then notice he says, and deceiving yourselves. This is an interesting Greek word, too. It refers to mathematical calculations. I had a harder one up there, but I couldn't figure it out myself. But this, so I figure you don't put something up there that you can't even figure out. We pretty well know this. This young man is doing calculations and mathematics. It will come to a conclusion or a thought. Well, if you think, this is what James is saying, if you think that you can listen to the word, know the word, understand the word, and not repent, and God will say it's okay, you have miscalculated. We are definitely under grace, but we are not under disgrace. And James is very clear here that this is a calculation that is deceptive. You do realize, please, that when we follow the word, God will bless. That's all I'm going to say for right now because it's coming back in just a second. It's coming up. Then he gives us an analogy. Look at verse, that was the command. He says, be doers of the word. And then he gives the analogy. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, that is, you're just listening to it, but you go, okay, I know what God's word says, but I'm going to do this instead. I know it's clear here, but hey, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. He is like a man who looks intently at his natural face, and this is great. I mean, this is just fantastic. He is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and forgets what he is like. Man shaving. You know, they didn't have mirrors when James wrote this. They didn't have mirrors like we have. But what they had was they had these, and I guess women did carry compacts to some degree, but they were brass plates, and they would polish those highly so that they could see their reflection. Well, when they looked at the reflection, they could see their face and see what they were really like. You know, like when you get up in the morning and you know, I look pretty good until you hit the mirror, right? Hair's all over the place. Mine doesn't go very far, but... Do you know what it says? What James is saying? That this is a mirror by which we see who we really are. That's what the word says. That's what the word says. But I am going to walk away and forget what God says about me. That's pretty hard. His natural face means what we really look like in the eyes of God. It means that when God's word speaks to us, you can't separate any of these verses. That's why I had to readjust my thinking on this and that anger. It all this is hooked, and it's the implanted word that God would write his laws on your heart. It's not only the Logos, Jesus Christ, but it's the Word of God that's implanted in our hearts. And then we can read God's Word. We can read it and say, yes, this is clear. I understand this is wrong, but. And then go away and forget what God's Word said. Doesn't work that way. That's a miscalculation, by the way. Don't figure on that. Don't mean you're going to lose your salvation. But I can tell you it's a bad deal. Good news, the result. But the one who looks into, and the Greek word there, look into, means intently. Who intently studies the perfect law. Let me tell you something. This is the perfect law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the perfect law. Everything in here is perfect because God wrote it. If you can look intently into the perfect law, notice this. Please notice this. James is awesome. I may preach this book two or three times yet to this church. You guys aren't awake. Notice what it says. It's the law of liberty. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall shackle you and bind you. No, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free in Christ. So it's not only the perfect law, it is a law of liberty that frees us from the bondage of sin which we were in. Therefore, and I know what you're thinking, well, God's a joy zapper. No. This was written. This was written for our protection. How many lives do you know are completely gutted and ruined because of sin? I've known some. Rebellion, disobedience, I know what God's word says, but I'm going to do it this way, and just totally, totally ruined. If I could tell any young person, if I could tell any young person today, the best way to keep your life on track is study this and know it. By the way, I'm proud of you girls. To study it and know the Word of God and live by the Word of God so that you will stay out of trouble, you will stay out of the immorality and all the stuff that's polluted by this world. Take off those filthy rags. If you live by the Word of God, your life will go smooth. I guarantee it. You won't get a guarantee like that. If you follow God in every situation, you will be protected. Now, your life may not go smoothly in the sense you may be persecuted, all those things, but God's going to protect you. So when you read the Word, make sure that you are correcting yourself by it. This is not where... This should be the culmination of your week-long study. It should be bam. And sadly, there are Christians that wait till Sunday morning for the pastor to read the Word of God and explain it, and that's all they get all week. Is that you? Ouch. Yeah, I know. I wrote that down and I said, be careful. The result. Notice the result. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, that is, keep doing it, even when everybody else is not doing it. Being no hearer who forgets, ties back to the mirror image, and doer who acts. Oh, please look at this. Please underline this. He will be blessed. That means God will reward you in this life for doing what he tells you to do. You know how many times I've kept myself from problems just because I've been following the word? Blindly? Okay, Pastor, does this play out? Okay, let's look. Do you remember this guy, Joshua? You know what? Joshua, man, he's one of my favorite old... I like Moses, too, with the Ten Commandments. But I think if I had to pick one, it'd be Joshua. Joshua came up after Moses. Remember that? Moses went up, and God said, you can look in, but because you hit the rock, you're kind of messed up. I'm going to raise up Joshua, and he's going to take him into Canaan. Do you remember that? This is where they marched around the walls of Jericho. This is where they crossed the Jordan. That's Joshua. That's not a real picture. I don't know. It's just kind of a guess. They're crossing the Jordan. The Torah. Oh, excellent. Listen to this. This is what the book says. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So in other words, it doesn't, if God is the same today as he was yesterday, then the word has to be applicable to then and now. And the fact is, if you read the word, you heed the word, you obey the word, you follow the word, you love the word, you chew up the word, you swallow the word, God will bless your life. That is a promise. If you look at God's word and you choose to see the word and you walk away from the word wanting to do your own thing, you will not be blessed. I guarantee it. You're gonna hit snags. You look at that mirror and you go, yeah, I know what I look like, God, but I don't look as bad as you think I do, and I'm going to go over here and do my own thing. It doesn't work. Joshua was following a principle that James just hit. That if you love the word, you digest it, God will bless you. Not only that, but you have to apply it to your life. Now he begins in the area of speech. Notice what he says. If anyone, by the way, what did I entitle this sermon? Living the Word. I had another sermon title, not religion. Listen to this. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, miscalculation, the person's religion is worthless. The Greek word for religion, get this. The Greek word for religion is worship. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. We're here worshiping. Yes. But as you obey the word, you are also worshiping. I want you to catch this. Please catch it. If anyone thinks he is religious or worshiping God and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, that person's worship is worthless. And the Greek word for worthless means meaningless. In other words, you can say with your life that you are worshiping God, but in your actions in relation to the Word, who is your connection with God through the indwelling Holy Spirit, that I'm going to do my own thing, so therefore you're not worshiping God. You see the connection there? It's not religion. I wish they'd have put the word worship, because that's a good the good translation. Beautiful animal. Horse. Beautiful. I'm fascinated by how they're able to do this. It's an equestrian, by the way. I like watching it. They're able to do this. You see this little connection here? That's a bridle. And it controls the direction and overall control of everything, really, for the horse. It tells the horse when to pull back, when to slow down, when to go left and right. And guess what? What you say points the direction of your heart. What you say is where your heart is. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. So, I guess when I was a younger Christian, my tongue would fly off. I have learned this, though. I'm not saying I live this perfectly. You can tell where somebody is spiritually by just listening to them. You can tell where somebody is spiritually just by listening to them. How often in public dialogue and other things do you talk about Jesus? We have no problems talking about what happened on American Idol, boy. Or other stuff. Have no problems talking about this. But do you talk about Jesus? Do you talk about the love of Christ? Are you spiritual? Is everything worldly? I can tell usually at least several times after I've met somebody if they are, because if you're, I knew two Christians. This is true. I knew two Christians who worked side by side for 7 years, and one of them finally one day said, I'm a Christian. He goes, me too. They had no idea because they never talked about Christ in all of those years. You're kidding me. I am too. How come I never hear you talk about Jesus? What comes out of your mouth says where you are spiritually. If Jesus never comes out, then that's probably where you are spiritually. I'm not saying that all the conversation, there's other ones. You can go the other direction. You know, where you're like hyper and falling out, rolling around. That's the wrong, I don't know, maybe that's the wrong way to go. But if you can get through an entire day without talking, you say, well, you're a pastor. You have to talk about Jesus. No, I don't. I don't have to talk about Jesus. But he comes out in every conversation. What God is doing in my heart comes out. Maybe some of you don't want to listen to it. I don't know. Here comes Pastor Mike again. But Bill, that really hits him hard, I guess. Do you understand this? It's what comes out of your mouth that kind of gives the direction that you're headed. If you never talk about spiritual issues in your life, okay. The danger is obviously that type of worship is meaningless. And then he talks about applying the Bible to your life, not only in the realms of speech, but in your deeds. Notice, religion that is pure, that is worship that is pure and undefiled before the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. I always have a special heart for orphans because they don't have a mother or father. I don't know. Maybe sometimes I think we waste a lot of our times with the Braves, the Cardinals, the Cubs, bowling, golf. I don't know. That's a tough line. When was the last time you visited an orphanage? When was the last time you visited anybody? We have a couple widows in our church, and I think we failed in this area. I think we need to be more careful to go visit them. This is, as the pastor speaking, you got to get the word, and if you get the word and you don't, you know, it's dealing with you, then you got to deal with it. You don't have to be people in this church. What about the widow or widower next door? Person that sits over there. See, sits over there lonely. See, the issue here is, the word says to do it, so we adjust our lives. We are way too busy. We need to get priorities. Seriously, we need to get some priorities. He says here, worship, and that's worship. By the way, worship, think of that. That's worship in speech and deeds. When you are doing that, and whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. That's pleasing. It's a fragrant offering. Not only in your deeds, though, but also in your heart. Notice at the end, it's not an addition, it's connected to. And to keep oneself unstained from the world. little boy. It's every mother's nightmare. Shoes are dirty. This boy's been out playing golf. Got stuck in a sand trap. He's been out playing baseball, right? He's been playing the game of baseball. And I thought about this little boy here and his dirty uniform and what James says here about the filthiness of the world. As we play the game of life and we're soiled, are you going to wear that? Or are you just going to keep it on? I mean, would you let your son step out the door like this to go to school the next day with dirty clothes? No. We do in our Christian lives, spiritually. To keep oneself unstained from the world means that we just say no to the world. That means we don't do things like the world does things. It's tough. I realize that because it's the world. But dang it, it doesn't make it right. You can't look at God's word and then go, okay, yeah, I know what God's word says. I'm under grace, see? But you're missing the blessing. If you look at it and you say, okay, God, I need to make an adjustment here. I really need to make an adjustment in my life. And you make the adjustment, guess what? God's going to bless that. That's clear. That is clear in Scripture. God's going to bless that. So the question is, are you obeying the word that is implanted in you? Are you correcting yourself by it? And are you applying it to your life? Why bother reading the word, knowing the word, and then not applying it to your heart? Here, I'll give you this. If you want to do that, if you want to read the word, know the word, understand the word, but not live the word, then why bother coming? Why bother being a Christian? Why bother? You could go to JCPenney. Do whatever you want to do. But we're different because we know we're born again. Right? We know the word lives in us. And it needs to transform us. So that means we need to conform to the world, to the word, not the world. Obey the word that is in you. Correct yourself by it. And apply it to your life. The question is, are you stained by the world today? It's pretty easy to fix if you're stained or wherever you are in your walk. I think it's pretty simple to fix. Here's how you fix it. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I've done. Yes, I do. Trust me, I've seen a lot. There may be some things you could do that I haven't seen, but here's how you fix it. God, I'm sorry. I think if you do that, God forgives. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care what you've done. You could have anything. Abortion. I've had women come to me and say, God can never forgive me for an abortion. God forgave me a lot of sin. He nailed it to the cross. Abortion's forgivable. There's nothing that you've done that God can't forgive. Because you can't outrun the grace of God. But what we choose to do is say, okay, I'm under grace. And that's why we're not blessed. Follow the word, God will bless you. I promise, you can write that down. You write that down. Pastor Mike said on April 17th, that is today, right? Okay. April 17th, that if I obey the word, he will bless me. He will. Stuff that you think can't get fixed, God will fix it. Watch. Why? Because you're being obedient to the word. Stop obeying the word and watch what happens. Life has a way of bad news. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I ask for forgiveness. Help me to live for you. What's that take? 7 seconds? I didn't count it, but I'm assuming it's about 7 seconds. And you know what's interesting about God is that he is there to willingly forgive us. One more time. Obey the word that is in you, correcting yourself by it, and applying it to your life. Some of you have sins that you know. They need to be dealt with, and you need to deal with them. Whether you deal with them here, whether you deal with them when you leave, you know as well as I do that there's stuff that needs to be dumped out. When you do that, blessings. If you don't, problems. Guarantee it. Choice is yours.